That's a great passage from Scripture. It's a very important one theologically. And I had a professor in seminary who wrote an entire book just on these verses. And so good ones to meditate on throughout the week. It's been an interesting thing for me past few months as I've thought about, you know, what do I share as my final words, and over the course of my last few months here. And I had titled the series The Whole Counsel of God because Paul had shared with some elders from Ephesus that he had shared with them, he taught them the whole counsel of God. And I don't know if I have successfully completed that over 19 years. I've tried to, but I'm looking at the highlights here in the last few months. And as the body of Christ, the church, we looked at that a few weeks ago. We are God's people, the church. We are interconnected. And the church has certain characteristics about it. There are many, but I chose five to focus on and talked about forgiveness and then encouragement. Those are all important things. And forgiveness, we're relational, we need to forgive one another. If there's an offense, we need to forgive other people and just show the grace of God at work. Encouragement, this is an encouraging church. We share words of encouragement because we just need it, don't we? We go through these periods of time where we're just a little bit down, or even if we're up, we just need to know that there's people who care. And so a word of encouragement is very, very powerful. Today we come and we look at service. We are people who are called to serve one another. And the passage here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, it's all about serving. And we want to take a look at this. And Peter just lays it out so beautifully what it means for us to serve. We look at this day and then tomorrow, the celebration of Veterans Day. Very good example of those who serve us. They serve our nation. And serving sometimes at the cost of health or life. And we're grateful for that. As we come to look at this passage, we think about service in a broad context, but we also want to look at in a very narrow context, that of the church. Through our faith in Christ, spiritually, what is going on when we serve? So I encourage you to look at in the Pew Bibles or your Bibles in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Let's pray before we look at God's Word here. Lord, Your Word is a treasure for us. And we are rich because You have given it to us. Help us to understand, but even more, make these words come alive within us. And through Your Spirit, may we have the strength and the wisdom and the tenacity to be better servants. And it is through Jesus we ask this. Amen. So 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The first thing we see in this passage is a word about prayer. For the sake of our prayers. And prayer is something that we know is necessary for everything in our Christian life. But as we want to be servants, we need to be in prayer. And Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. In other words, everything that God has put forth through Jesus Christ has been accomplished except for his return. So that end is at hand. And when is that going to happen? Now, Peter will tell us that God is not slow in coming, but he desires for as many people as possible to be saved. And for God, 1 year, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So God is not bound by time. So Peter can say, the end is at hand. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it's still at hand. What does that mean for us? And what does it mean for our prayers? It means there's a sense of urgency. We don't know when Christ is going to return. The end of all things is at hand. So our prayers take on that characteristic. Not putting our prayers off, thinking, well, I can do it tomorrow. But today. And then taking things very seriously in our prayers. And he says, be self-controlled. So our actions, for the sake of our prayers, we are self-controlled in what we do. Losing control doesn't show forth God's grace working within us. When we lose control, also, we realize that God is not in control. God is not working within us as he should be. So we're not opening ourselves up to the fullness of the Spirit working within us. So we want to be self-controlled, focused upon the things of God, sober-minded. We're looking at God's will, taking it seriously, thinking the thoughts of God, doing his will. You know, the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's our prayer. And so we do these things. We're urgent, we're self-controlled, we're sober-minded in our prayers. So as we come to serve God and we come in prayer, and prayer, as we know, isn't just when we close our eyes and bow our heads. We can pray at any time, right? We just talk to God. We're just asking God for things. We're praising him. We're thanking him. We're seeking direction. So as we're serving, we're in prayer. And Peter says that above all, keep loving one another earnestly. So as we look at these characteristics of the church, really, the umbrella is love. It's why I didn't choose love specifically by itself. Everything fits under the category of love. And I love the way that the writers of Scripture just speak in concert. And I just look more and more in the New Testament at those writers, and especially the Paul and Peter. I mean, most of what we have in the New Testament in terms of letters is from them. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the primacy of love, and that without love we have nothing. Love is what it's all about. Love that is focused through Christ. So love is what's important here. Peter just echoes that same thing. Above all, have love. So our serving one another has love as its main characteristic. And we're to do it earnestly. Earnestly. So there's coming from our hearts. is something that is very focused, it's intense, it's serious. And so this love isn't just this wishy-washy kind of love like we find in Hallmark movies. Now, I'm not slamming Hallmark movies. They can be a fine diversion, but the view of love that is there is pretty superficial. And the love the Bible talks about is really deep and significant and spiritual and focused. So it is earnest, and the effect of it is something really amazing. It says that it covers a multitude of sins. Where love abounds, where grace is at work, there's going to be forgiveness. We're going to forgive one another, and we're going to be open to God's forgiveness. And when we're forgiving other people, and grace is displayed to people, then there's a witness. And it's a beautiful thing. And maybe others will say, I want something like that. I want that love. And so it covers that multitude of sins because people are seeing the beauty of a forgiving, gracious love. So the primacy of love is so important as we think about serving our Lord Jesus. Then Peter says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now, the historical context is that when people traveled from town to town, they would probably try to stay with relatives if they had some that were there. If not, then it would be with other people. And hospitality was considered to be very, very important in that culture, partly because there weren't enough inns to care for people who are traveling. It wasn't part of the commerce like what we have today. Hospitality was very, very important. So important that you would be shamed if you turned away someone who came seeking hospitality. Now, our context today is a little bit different. We have a lot of hotels and motels, but still, hospitality for one another is a very important thing to have. So we want to be able to serve in that way. We serve one another, and Peter says, without grumbling. Why? Because it's so easy to feel put out if someone just drops in. And the genuine heart of hospitality doesn't feel that. It's the welcome mat is there. Welcome. Come on in. There's a little bit of this going on with Jesus and his disciples in John 13, which David read earlier, where Jesus washes their feet. So part of the sign of hospitality is a host or the servant of the host, or perhaps the least of the people that were there, kind of the lowest on the pecking order, would be the one to wash the feet of people. But it was a sign of hospitality. Nobody did it. Jesus took on that role, showing what it means to serve. And so he says, if I, your Lord and Master, do this to you, what should you do to one another? What was interesting there, it was Peter, who is writing this letter that we're looking at now, who told Jesus, no, you're not going to do it to me. Misunderstanding what was happening. It's easy to misunderstand true servanthood. True, humble giving of oneself. And it's a hard thing for us to do and have genuine hearts about it. But it's what we're called to do. And our service to our Lord is found in hospitality. But here's the crux of the passage. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And to do it as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then Peter kind of separates things into two categories, although he wouldn't have us press him into two categories. But he says that whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Now, the reason I say it's the crux of the passage, because I think that everything that he's saying there about serving is kind of moves up to what was written just before that, and just as what was there then applies downwards, such as love. Love being in the umbrella, and that we're to offer our hospitality or our service ungrudgingly. So we look at this spiritual gifts, and within the context of the body of Christ, it's so important for us to understand that God gives to us gifts for ministry, to serve one another, to serve God within the church, which together, when the gifts are working, we're serving one another, but we're also serving the world around us. So we receive these gifts. Now, that's sort of the definition of a gift, isn't it? Something we receive. It's not something we've earned. Something you earn is a wage. Something you receive is a gift. So these spiritual gifts God gives to us, we recognize that we have received them. The word gift, the word grace, which is used here, varied grace, and also the word joy. Now, the word joy isn't here, but when we think about the idea of showing hospitality ungrudgingly, you flip that around, the word ungrudgingly, and say, show hospitality with joy. Those three words, gift, grace, and joy, are interrelated. And the beauty of the Greek language is it's all the same root word. But they're so interrelated. And we think about that. That, you know, a gift, okay, it's someone has grace. They're giving you something they don't have to. And they're experiencing joy in the giving of a gift. And you're experiencing joy in the receiving of the gift. So interrelated, we receive these gifts. It is by grace, and there is something joyful about them when they are received and used. Then we receive them to serve one another. There's the direction. In other words, they're not something that God gives to us that we just say, this is for me. And we just keep it inside. God says, you've received this to share. It's an integral part of the body of Christ so that everything works. And so we serve one another. And we're to be good stewards. Now, this is stewardship month, isn't it? When we talk about stewardship month, which we don't emphasize this every week at Parkway, but this month I'll do one message, that's next week, and then we have a few people from the church that share from their hearts what stewardship means to them. And we talk about stewardship, not just money, what God calls us to do with that resource that he's given to us. But we talk about it in terms of the time that God gives to us. And God gives to us all 24 hours a day, doesn't he? So what do we do with that? What do we do with these gifts, spiritual gifts, and the innate talents that God has given to us? That's stewardship. It's how we use those. We want to be good stewards. And good stewards, we know, are faithful. Faithful to use those gifts, diligent, efficient. There isn't a lot of waste. And so we're trying to be good stewards like that. I think also of stewards and as servants. This is all talking about servanthood. We go to a restaurant. And, you know, fancy restaurants, probably you're going to have perhaps a male waiter. You might have a waitress also. But, you know, the places I go to, are more often than not have waitresses. And all of us can identify when we have a good waitress, someone who we feel is serving us well. And just kind of think right now, what are some of those characteristics of being a good waitress, or they're a good steward of what they are called to do? And, you know, we know that they're attentive to us. Even though we're just one table among many, and they might be overworked, but they're attentive, asking us if we need something else, or how is your food, is it okay? Perhaps they're cheerful. They're not grumbling. You kind of, a good waitress is someone that you look at them and you know, you can see on their face that they're glad to be there to help you. Now, it might be something they have learned to do, but when they really care about people, it makes a difference. When it comes to serving one another, and we're good stewards, we want to be faithful, diligent in what we do, attentive, and genuinely concerned, caring, joyful. So we are good stewards. And it says of God's very grace. What Peter is saying is that God has given different gifts to each of us. No one has all the spiritual gifts, but each of us has at least one spiritual gift, something that we can do in the body of Christ that works towards God's purposes. It's meant to be that way. We aren't supposed to look at somebody else and say, boy, their gift is more important, and I wish I had that one and not this one. But we look at the gift that God has given to us, and we delight in that, and we seek to be a good steward of it. So as Peter breaks this down into kind of two categories, one of them is speaking. Whoever speaks as if speaking oracles from God, the Word of God. And what's going on there? It's looking at God's Word and taking it seriously. So whether or not it's someone is preaching, or if they're teaching a class, giving a word of encouragement, evangelizing, sharing a scripture passage with someone, whatever it is, we're taking God's Word very seriously. Not trying to just pick something out and whatever pops in our mind, that's what it means. Or whatever I want it to mean, that's what it means. But we try to understand what's really here. We take it very seriously. You know, we came into the Evangelical Presbyterian Church a few years ago because God's Word is important to us. And there were many people in our previous denomination that approached God's Word in a way that just said, here's what I believe, now I'll pick and choose from Scripture, and I'll twist it so that I can have it say what I want. And we said, we can't do that. And we feel more comfortable in a denomination that says God's Word is authoritative. It's important to us. We don't misrepresent it. And so Peter here is saying we take it very seriously. So whoever speaks as one who is speaking oracles of God. And whoever serves, we serve by the strength that God supplies. This brings us back to grace. We cannot do it on our own. And it brings us back into our need of prayer and of the Holy Spirit. Now, actually, just before this passage, that he talks about the Spirit. We might live in the Spirit the way that God does. So we want to be people who live according to God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to serve in whatever way it might be Because without the Holy Spirit, without God's grace working within us, whatever we do will not have eternal significance, because it isn't ultimately then about God. It will be just about us. Even if it's something that's good, we could do the same thing, but it's from the intent of the heart. And then what is evident, the words that we speak, is it about us or is it about God? And that leads us into then the glorious purpose that Peter identifies here. He says, in order that, and it shows purpose, in order that in everything, absolutely everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be long glory and dominion forever and ever. Why is it so important for us to grab a hold of these great and glorious purposes that have to do with God? Isn't salvation about me? Our salvation becomes about us because it is about God. And it's only important for us because it is backed by who God is and what he does for us. And so out of the fullness of God, he is gracious, he sends his Son to die for us, and God is glorified through the work of Jesus. God's glory is not something that is peripheral to our salvation, to our being in a right relationship with God. God is glorified through restoring us. God is glorified in all things. So we come seeking God's glory, and being in relationship with God is understanding our glorious God and wanting to have other people see God glorified, because he is the best, the ultimate. There is none greater. So his power, his excellency is displayed when we rely upon his power, when we serve others, and it should point to God. Now, in a previous church, when it came time for Thanksgiving baskets they were going to do, there was one year where some of the people working on it said, well, why are we putting a note in here that says this is a gift from the church because of God's love? And they said, we just do things out of love. We don't have to get credit. And I responded, we're not getting the credit. We're telling people that God gets the credit. God is glorified. God is good. We're pointing to him. And that's what we do here, is we put notes in the boxes and just want people to know it's a gift because of God's love. God is glorified. When we serve God in any capacity, it should point directly to God. And it's through Jesus Christ, which means his grace. And it points to his grace. His grace working within us. And just the grace then that is available for all, for forgiveness, to have significance and purpose in life, to have strength to be able to do what we need to do each day, and to serve God, and to have wisdom and discernment. It all just relies upon the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. And then this final thing that he says, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. That's a doxology. It's a praise to God. And Peter just kind of bursts out in that as he thinks about who God is. And that's what we should do. Just burst forth with doxologies, praises to God of who God is. He is supreme. Supreme over all. There is none like him. He is worthy. The only one who is worthy to be worshipped. And he's eternal. It's forever and ever. We get to tag along for eternity because God is eternal and he has invited us to share eternity with him. We begin here by serving one another And in that, we glorify God. Let's pray. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the gifts that you give that we might serve you. We thank you for the strength that you work inside of us. We thank you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us together, an expression of your church, to serve one another, to serve the community, to serve the world. And we just simply ask that you would continue to pour out your grace upon us, that you might be glorified through Jesus our Lord. Amen.